you can't hear very clearly. Something happened. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Srila today to the center. We will hear a nice episode from Srila Prabhupada Nectar. This is actually very soon. While Govardhan Leela will start on Monday, actually on Friday will be Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. So it's a very important occasion for the Vaishnavas to come together on next Friday to observe the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. So let's read something that's very nice from Prabhupada Nectar. On preaching. One day in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada allowed a morning darshan in his room. But some of the important devotees were absent. When he asked where they were, he was told that some of the devotees were cleaning the temple. Prabhupada was surprised. Cleaning the temple? We can employ people to clean the temple. But one thing you cannot employ people to do is to preach. So they should hear from me when I am speaking. Or how will they preach? If you feel at all indebted to me, then you should preach vigorously at me. That is the proper way to repay me. Of course, no one can repay the debt to the spiritual master. But the spiritual master is very much pleased by such an attitude by the disciple. This is letter of 14th August 1976. Another short letter of 21st November 1971. Yes, preaching is more important than management. Just because you are preaching nicely and distributing so much prasadam, management will follow like a shadow and Krishna will send you unlimited help. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. So Prabhupada says here, if we at all feel indebted to Prabhupada, then we should preach vigorously. This is so important. This is the proper way to repay. So we should never stop preaching. We should never stop speaking about Krishna. Whatever that we read from Prabhupada, we should immediately speak. That is preaching. We should try our best to organize as many programs as we can. It doesn't matter where they are, which part of Singapore. Like the Dhamodar month is now, and all of the reason why we try so hard to actually reach out to so many different entities is so that we can please Srila Prabhupada and please our spiritual masters. Nothing pleases the acharyas more than when we are preaching. So please, preaching is not only meant for one or two persons. Preaching means everyone has to preach. We must not think that only two, three persons should preach. We should not also think that only one or two persons are capable of preaching. No. Preaching simply means that we hear, we read, and then we repeat. That's all. So never be discouraged that, oh, I'm not qualified to preach. As long as we are chanting 16 rounds, we are following the four regulative principles, and daily we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's books, then Prabhupada will give us the qualification to preach. This is very important. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Radha. Vasudevaya.
Om going to chant chapter 8, text 28. It's the last verse of chapter 8. It frames Govardhan Leela very nicely. So if you have your phones, you can turn to 8:28. And then we will just go on to Govardhan Leela. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
I'll just read the translation and you can repeat it. A person who accepts the path of
devotional service
is not bereft of the results
derived
from
studying the Vedas,
performing sacrifices,
undergoing austerities,
giving charities,
or pursuing philosophical
and fruitive activities,
simply by performing devotional service,
he attains all these,
and at the end,
he reaches the supreme eternal abode.
Jai
Srila Prabhupada
Ki.
This verse is very important because it tells us the greatness of devotional service. Devotional service means service to Krishna, and service that is done with the heart, devotion. Service that is not done whimsically. Service that is not done because it is just something that we are doing out of custom, but it is done because it is prescribed. So this verse tells us that, frankly speaking, one who takes up devotional service, he never lacks anything. This is something that's very important for us in devotional service. Five things Krishna says. If you accept bhakti, then whatever results that come from study of Vedas, you get automatically. Whatever that you perform in terms of sacrifices, but if you perform bhakti, the results of all that yajnas, they come to you automatically. Next, whatever austerities that people like to do, a devotee who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, he immediately, by Krishna's mercy, he can control his senses very easily. He can withdraw his senses very easily. Giving charity. Sometimes we give charity and the results are supposed to be pious. But giving Krishna is the best charity. Chanting Krishna's name is the highest charity. That's why Prabhupada decided it was better for us to chant Krishna's names. And in that way, not only is everyone satisfied, but ultimately everyone's hearts are also satisfied. Food can only satisfy us for a while. You all know that every 3 hours we get hungry. Right? Sometimes even faster. And if it's Diwali time, you know, then we eat more also, isn't it? Because a lot of sweetmeats and all are there. So hunger you cannot satisfy. But if you chant Krishna's names, even hunger and thirst doesn't touch us actually. So important. And then he says, if you pursue anything philosophical, even fruitive activities, your work and everything, if you start with Krishna, in the middle you have Krishna, at the end you have Krishna, then even that work does not catch you. And the results of that work is automatically found in devotional service. So actually what Krishna is saying is that devotional service is complete. As devotees, we must resist the temptation that the mind will tell us. Devotional service is good, but 20% I should keep, emergency, just in case. I need this astrologer just in case things go wrong. You know, I need this person just in case something goes wrong. You know, let me keep a few devatas on standby just in case Krishna fails me. You know, option number one, option number two, option number three. We don't need all that. We don't need all that. Because aham sarvasya prabhu, mataha sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the origin of all matter and he is the origin of all spirit. If we accept that, Prabhus and Matajis, then what need is there for us to run anywhere else? This is what Govardhan Leela is about. This is the beauty of Govardhan Leela. Govardhan Leela actually starts at the point when the Brahmanas and the wives of the Brahmanas had their Leela with Krishna. This is the Leela immediately after that actually. So if you remember, the wives of the Brahmanas satisfied Krishna and they satisfied their hearts by giving Krishna all the offerings that the Brahmanas, their husbands, refused to give. So after that, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they continued to be in that same forest at that time. And while they were there at that time, they suddenly realized that, wait a minute, I'm seeing something very interesting. I'm seeing, Krishna thought, and the boys were thinking, that here you find that Nanda Maharaj and all the other, the fathers, you know, of these boys, they were getting ready to actually do a large sacrifice. They had got so many offerings, so much of bhoga, so much of food, so much of liquid stuff, all these things were ready. They were getting all the paraphernalia for a great sacrifice. So Krishna was thinking, this is very interesting. Why are they doing this? This is what Krishna is asking. So Krishna then goes up towards Nanda Maharaj, his father. And first he just asks father, you know, father, what is this sacrifice for? Of course, at that point of time, Bhagavatam tells us that Nanda Maharaj did not give so much credibility or weightage to what Krishna was asking. Naturally, because he's a young boy. Here we are busy getting all the havan and everything ready. If Krishna asks, who is this for? Then why to answer? But then Krishna was quite particular. He then asked his father a few questions which were very important. The first thing he asked was, what is this great endeavor about? Second, he asked, what is it meant to achieve? This is very important. Actually, these five questions that he asks are five questions we should ask every time we perform an endeavor. You find these questions, if you answer them satisfactorily, you should do them. If you cannot give good answers to this, then like Nanda Maharaj, you should stop. So the first question he asks is, what is this endeavor about? Second, he asked, what is it meant to achieve? Third, he asked, if it is a ritual, because it looked like a ritual, then he said, for whom is it being executed? In other words, for whose pleasure? And then he said, by what means will it be executed? Four questions. These four questions were very important questions. And he asked them very nicely. The reason why he asked this question was actually, he was wondering whether this is tradition or is it Vedic. So the last question after he asked all four questions is, Father, is this tradition or this sacrifice you're going to do, is it authorized? Is it coming from our Vedas? You know, is it found somewhere, maybe in our scriptures? Or is it just a custom that you do? Then he asked him another thing. Have you thoroughly understood what you're doing before you do it? So by now, Nanda Maharaj was thinking, my God, these are questions that children don't ask, you know. Even I wouldn't ask. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, all these years we are doing this sacrifice, nobody asked this question. The reason he asked this is important. Because sometimes, especially when we are born into Vedic culture, you'll find that amidst Vedic culture, we start adding some things. Sometimes we subtract some things also. Sometimes we add things that were never done. Sometimes we subtract things that have always been done. For example, when we do Tusi Pranams, Vrindaya Tusi Deviyai, Priyaya Kesava Sacha, Vishnu Bhakti, Prabhupada told us very clearly that it should be Vishnu Bhakti. All your spiritual masters say Vishnu Bhakti. But till today you will hear some devotees saying, Krishna is higher than Vishnu. So why we are saying Vishnu Bhakti? So we should say Krishna Bhakti. And then suddenly you start hearing people say Krishna Bhakti. But Prabhupada said Vishnu Bhakti. So why are we changing what Prabhupada has given? This is the point. So when we do not follow Vedic tradition, when we start speculating, then the danger, Prabhu said, Mataji, is that we will start adding things that we have never done before. This is dangerous. There was a wedding, and this boy was a young boy, and he was seeing his sister getting married. So they were all seated down, and all the paraphernalia for marriage was ready. Just at the point when the priest was going to start, a cat, you know, from outside came inside, and he was going to mess up this whole area. Imagine, for marriage, you know, they put everything very neatly. All you need is one cat to run around. Everything is gone. So the priest saw the cat. Immediately he took a basket, and before the cat could move anywhere else, he dropped it on the cat. And the basket was heavy enough so the cat could not move. So this boy saw it, you know. And then the priest continued the whole ceremony with the cat on the side in the basket. Years later, the boy is going to get married. So he sits down and the havan is there and everything is ready. Then he realizes, hey, something is missing. So he turns to the priest and says, I think you forgot one item for the havan. He says, I'm doing it 20 years. What item are you talking about? He said, where's the cat? Where's the cat? Where's the cat in the basket? And the priest is thinking, where's the cat and how did the cat come? Because we do something, we see something, and then we think this is tradition. This is a very, very important point. And sometimes tradition is, you know, it becomes our tradition to do something. Oh, why? Because my family has been doing something. So we do it. I remember my Guru Maharaj always saying this story. There was a pickpocket, you know. And he was very master pickpocket. So he thought that he should settle down. Naturally, pickpocket wants to find a wife who is favorable to his pickpocketing. So he looked around the community and he found a girl who was also an expert pickpocket. So he thought, you know, now we settle down and we are both the pickpocket family. Then they thought they should have a child. And they thought, they prayed, you know, that the child should become master pickpocket. Because I'm very good in pickpocketing, my wife is good in pickpocketing, you put us together and the parampara should be complete. So like that they were thinking. So then the child was born, you know, immediately the child was born. After some time, when the child was born immediately after birth, the nurses, you know, who were there, they brought the child out. And they realized one thing, that the child refused to open the right fist, refused to. So the nurses were looking around. The mother was worried, what is wrong with this child? Does it have a deformity? You know, father was also very worried. And then finally, just after some time, they managed to open the child's fingers, you know, and they found a ring. They found a ring. And then the nurse said, my God, this was the ring I was wearing. And I was helping to deliver the child. And the mother and father became very happy because we thought, my God, what an auspicious child. Hardly born and starting pickpocketing already. So we think these things are very auspicious because we think they are tradition. But factually speaking, if they are not coming from Sarshpas, then we should be very careful with them. This is the point that Krishna was asking. So now Nanda Maharaj has to reply. So Nanda Maharaj answered very nicely. He said, my dear Krishna, and the Gopas and Balram, you see, this sacrifice has been done for a long time because it is a sacrifice in honor of Indra. Indra is a very powerful devata. And he's the controller of the clouds, the rains. Because of him, so much rain is coming. Because of rain, we are getting water. Because of rain, we are getting fertile soil. We are getting food. So he's the source of everything. It is just that we should always make sure that we do this sacrifice. Otherwise, no rain, then you and I cannot talk now. So this is the point that Nanda Maharaj was telling. Now, Krishna already knew at that point of time exactly what he wants to do. See, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he stated very nicely in the second canto, fourth chapter. Shukadeva Goswami says, when Krishna comes into this world, he does two things. Bhuyo namatsat vijane chide asatam asambhavaya akilasatva murtaye humsam punaha paramahamsyam ashrame vivastitanam anumrityadashuse. So beautiful verse from second canto, fourth chapter. So Shukadeva Goswami says, my obeisance to you, Krishna. Why? Because Krishna, when you come into this world, you do two things. Shukadeva Goswami tells us that Krishna comes in his complete form, his complete existence, and he comes to liberate the devotees from distress. This is very important. He relieves the devotees of distress. At the same time, he checks the further atheistic temperament of the devotees. Very nice point Prabhupada translates, you know, in Bhagavatam. In other words, Krishna just doesn't only give us relief. How? By devotional service. And relief from what? Material distress. But Krishna also, more importantly, he also checks any temperament of ours which becomes atheistic. Sometimes people say this verse refers to demons whom he checks and devotees whom he saves. But actually, the verse refers to the same person also. Because sometimes as devotees, we also have some atheistic nature that comes because of pride. Pride can catch us anytime. And even the great devotees, and we will see here, even a great devotee like Indra, who is very pious actually, that is why he is promoted to become Devata, he is also subjected to a moment of pride. So if Indra can be subjected to a moment of pride, then why not us? So we must understand this in the context of Bhagavatam. So it is very clear that Nanda Maharaj is going to answer this point. And Krishna knew fully well, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knew who was going to benefit from this fire sacrifice, or this sacrifice. And Indra, he knew, was becoming very, very proud in his heart. So Krishna wanted to check that temperament of pride. This is the greatness of Krishna. Krishna is Hariye, Hari Medase. Bhagavatam tells us Krishna is day and night thinking of how he can actually bring us closer to him. Always he's thinking how to help the conditioned living entities come to Krishna consciousness, and how to bring peace and how to bring relief from distress to the devotees when they are in the material world. This is the greatness of Krishna. So while we may not be thinking of Krishna, Krishna day and night, he's always thinking of us. So Krishna was thinking now that I should now stop Indra's pride. So then he tells Nanda Maharaj, actually the reason to have this fire sacrifice or this sacrifice for Indra is not correct. And he gives some very interesting examples. First, he says that actually everything that is happening is by the force of karma. Now he brings up this philosophy known as Mimamsa philosophy. So he says, actually according to Mimamsa philosophy, work is most important. We are all, you know, run by the force of karma. And based on karma, whatever we do, that reaction is coming. So actually it is not Indra who is giving us rains. We must be doing something nice, that's why the rains are coming. So why to worship Indra? Better instead you worship the work. He said better that we do the performer's engagement in activity. That is what that should be worshipped. Then he gives a nice argument. He says that if supposing you are actually going to get married to one woman, but you look at another woman and give her all the benefit, then you are being very unfaithful, isn't it? If supposing this lady is actually giving you everything, but you are running after another lady, then you are very unfaithful. So what he was trying to say is, Indra is not the reason why you are getting the rains. And then he said, it is all your karmas. It is all your work. It is all your engagement. So Nanda Maharaj was a bit bewildered, because he thought, where is Krishna getting all these great arguments from? Then Krishna goes on. So he says, instead of worshipping Indra, we should seriously worship work itself. He says, work is worship. So then he says, work should become our worshipable deity. We should worship the fact that all of us are doing such nice work. All the cowherd boys and men, they are taking care of the cows. All the cows are doing such nice work. Because when the cows eat the grass, when they graze, actually the soil becomes fertile. Because as they graze, they will give out the dung. And with cow dung, the soil becomes even more fertile. Because they give milk, we are sustained. So where? Milk is not coming from the rain. Milk is coming from the cow. The grass is what is feeding us. And where is this grass? Where is this wonderful water that is coming from the waterfall? We are drinking that water because it is fresh. We are drinking that. So now Krishna was coming to the final argument. The final argument is, Nanda Maharaj, Father, if you think very carefully, you will realize that the cows, the brahmanas, because of their prayers, Indra becomes peace. Because the prayers of the brahmanas are powerful, that's why Indra is giving rain. So it is the brahmanas, it is the cows, It is all this grass and waterfall and forest. These are the things you should worship. In other words, you should worship Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj said, Govardhan Hill? And Krishna said, yes. Because see this Govardhan Hill. It is this Govardhan Hill that is giving the shelter to all the animals in Vrindavan. They all graze very beautifully. And because they are giving, because Govardhan is so kind, Govardhan gives unlimited water, unlimited food supply, and that is why all the animals in Vrindavan are so happy. Even the wild animals, when they go up in Govardhan, they also become very happy. And Govardhan is giving beautiful water. The water that comes from Indra cascades into Govardhan, becomes purified by touching Govardhan, and comes down. So actually this sacrifice that you are doing, this should be given to the cows, be given to Govardhan Hill, be given to all the inhabitants who are on the hill. Because they are the ones who are actually taking care of us. Then Krishna concludes very nicely. He says, what you should do, Father, and all you elders, all these offerings that you have got now, take it all and you should bring it straight to Govardhan. Actually, Nanda Maharaj was thinking, we will do the sacrifice first for Indra. And then if you want, we will go and see Govardhan. You know? But Krishna was insistent. Why? Because when we do this thing and we do that thing, then we are not ekanta in bhakti. You see the point? That's why Krishna said, no, no, no. It's not you do for Indra and then you do for Govardhan. You just do for Govardhan and everyone becomes satisfied. This is the point. That is why as devotees, we should become fully surrendered to the process. Don't put one leg in this and then keep one leg outside. If you put one leg in one boat and one leg in the other boat, even a child will tell you, when the boats move either in either directions, you'll end up not on either boat. You'll end up in the water. Isn't it? So it is our experience that we cannot look here and look there. Isn't it? Even in Vedic tradition, supposing in Vedic tradition there was some arranged marriage and you go and see option number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. After seeing all the persons, you come home and you think, this boy was alright, that boy looked better, but this one has better educational degree, this one is already earning money, you know, but the fifth one has all the combination. So you think this way. So at that point of time, you may think of five boys. But Vedic tradition says, by the time you decide, you should only have one boy. It is not that after you have chosen and you get married, the night after you think, actually option number 2 was better, option number 4 is better. Then you are neither here, neither are you there. So that's why Nanda Maharaj was told very politely by Krishna, Father, instead of doing it for Indra, you just bring everything, make a wonderful boga offering. Then after offering it to Govardhan, you circumambulate the hill. And after all of you circumambulate the hill and worship the cows and worship and feed the brahmanas and feed all the Vrindavan residents, then everyone will become very happy. Then he says, my dear father, this sacrifice should be done. And he tells him, if it appeals to you, very nice. Actually, Krishna is so kind, Krishna never forces anyone to do anything. Have you noticed that? After speaking after the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna ends by telling Arjuna, now I have told you all that needs to be told. Now do as you like. Do as you please. Now do what you must do. This is Krishna. Why? Because devotional service cannot be anything but voluntary. You cannot put a gun to somebody's head and say, now you must tell me that you love me. Cannot, isn't it? Isn't it? If you love someone in this world and he or she doesn't love you back, putting a gun on their head and say you love me, and they say, yes, I love you. Why? Because the gun is there. That is not love. So Krishna will never want us to do something until we are ready to do it with our heart. But even if our heart is not there, but if we have faith that this process will please Krishna, that pleases Krishna even more. If you wait until Krishna, when my heart is really ready, I will chant one round. That day will never come. Isn't it? It will never come. But if you say, Krishna, I know you are pleased if I do one round. Therefore, even if I hate it, I will do it. Now, that is love. That is love. To do something that you do not like means to cross over the ocean of your material senses. That is the true meaning of devotional service. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj was told, if it appeals to you, you please do it. And it will be very dear, he says, to who? You'll be dear to the cows. You'll be dear to the brahmanas. You'll be dear to Golden Hill. And he ends by saying, it'll be very dear to me. And when he says that to the residents of Vrindavan, that was the final clincher. Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men thought, you know what? This boy Krishna is very young, 7 years old only, but I think he's very intelligent. Whatever he says is very true, very true. But the real reason Bhagavatam tells us is that Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan didn't become convinced by Krishna as much as the fact that it would please Krishna. This is also an important point in Golden Leela. Because their whole lives were centered around Krishna. Anything that Krishna wanted was what they wanted. This is how we should live in this material world. If we have a problem, if we want to make a decision, the first question that we should ask is, what does Krishna want? If we don't know what Krishna wants, then very simple. We should ask our spiritual masters, Guru Maharaj, what does Krishna want? Because he is the representative of Krishna. If he says Krishna wants this, then we should follow lovingly. If we don't have access to spiritual master, or we are not initiated and we want to know, then please hear Prabhupada's lectures, read Prabhupada's books. All the answers are there. Sometimes Prabhupada would become disturbed when a very senior devotee would come up to him. I was reading Lilamrita in Juhu, Bombay. Prabhupada was sitting down and a very senior devotee came and asked him a philosophical question. And Prabhupada got upset. He said, why are you asking me this question? It's all in the books. It shows how much you're reading or how little you're reading, Prabhupada said. So actually all answers are there. But the answer that the Vrindavan residents wanted was, Krishna, what do you want? If it will please you, we will do it. This is the mood of a devotee. Do something to please Krishna. Don't do something to please yourself. If we put our desires subordinate to the interest of the Lord and the interest of His exalted devotees, we will become very peaceful in devotional service. This is very important. So Nanda Maharaj and all the gopas and the gopis and all the residents, all the men, they all accepted what Krishna said. And now, with no pride, otherwise, you know, when adults want to hear children, very difficult, isn't it? Because we always have this pride. Sometimes as parents, if our children point out a mistake that we have, oh, we try very hard to turn here, turn there, turn here, turn there, and find some way to salvage our pride. Yes, yes, actually it was like this, but I'll tell you why there's a deeper reason why I did this. But children see through us. They know we are nonsense. But what to do? It's because of pride. But Nanda Maharaj, Bhagavatam said, had no pride. For him, Krishna was everything. Everything. If you really genuinely love someone, then pride is the least of the problems. Whenever husband and wife fight, we always tell the husband and wife, 90% of the fight is because of pride. And the reason why pride is there is because you don't have any feelings for each other. That is why pride is in the center. When devotees work with each other, when they do a service, it's not I'm right, you're wrong. It's what will please Krishna. It doesn't matter whether I was right or I was wrong. The point is, does it please Krishna? The moment pride comes, then fall also comes. Then we cannot see Krishna. It's like a blanket. We can't see Krishna. So this is the point. So now the Vrindavan residents made nice arrangement. They made this beautiful feast for Govardhan. And Krishna was there to direct them, put everything together. The description in Bhagavatam is very nice. It runs almost half the chapter actually of what the offerings are. And if we speak now, you know, then you'll all go down to heaven. So better we just tell you that all the wonderful food items were beautiful. And all this, they gave grass to the cows. They fed the brahmanas very nicely. They ornamented themselves all as a big festival. And then they all came before Govardhan. And they placed all the offerings before Govardhan Hill. Then, with great chanting of the glories of Krishna, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. And Bhagavatam tells us all the elderly men, the women, the young folks, the cows, the animals, they all went. And as they moved, what is important is, as they moved, they all chanted the pastimes of Krishna. And the first people to do that as they moved around Govardhan was actually the gopis. Prabhus, if you can move forward a bit, that will be nice because some devotees are behind. and they need a bit of space. Thank you. So they sang the glories of Krishna. And as they sang the glories of Krishna, they circumambulated the hill. And all the Brahmanas chanted all very nice Vedic hymns also. So it was not based on speculation. It was actually based on Shastra. And as they did that, all of them became very peaceful. In Bhagavatam, it is stated three words were used to describe this beautiful Govardhan Puja. The first word was, the Govardhan Puja was pragmatic. The second word was, the Govardhan Puja was most fortunate. And the third word was, Govardhan Puja was most intelligent. What a nice point. Govardhan Puja was pragmatic, it was very, very fortunate, and it was intelligent. Why? It was pragmatic because Krishna wanted to tell the world that the most practical thing in life is to understand who is the source of everything. Isn't it? If you think about it, sometimes they say that religion must be practical. We should not be in the sky. Krishna consciousness is eminently practical. We turn to Krishna because he is the source of everything. All the residents of Vrindavan circumambulated Govardhan Hill because they obeyed Krishna. Because they knew that Krishna is the source of everything. For them, Krishna was not the source of material world, spiritual world. For them, Krishna was just the source of all their happiness. That's why they are the exalted devotees. So that is why it was pragmatic. Because they followed Krishna, this puja was most fortunate. It was most fortunate, considered to be most bhagya. In other words, it was most auspicious. So when we follow that which is pragmatic and practical, we are considered most fortunate. And those who become most fortunate, they are considered the most intelligent. Why? Because instead of running here and there, we just follow Krishna. That's it. Gopi Jana. Isn't it? That is the meaning. If we follow Krishna, we become the Jana of Gopi. We become the followers of the Gopis. The Gopis follow Krishna. This is the mood of Krishna conscious devotees. And after saying that, Krishna then was actually very happy with them. And because he was so happy with them, he thought in his heart, these residents of Vrindavan up till now, for so many years, they were doing the sacrifice to Indra. That which is customary is very difficult to break. And yet, out of love for me, in a moment they dropped everything just for me. So, it is my duty to increase their faith in me. It is my duty to encourage them in the devotional service. Krishna is setting the example of a leader. A leader in spiritual life should always encourage the devotees. We should never discourage devotees. Even if we see 1% effort, we should fan the flame of enthusiasm. And this devotee's 1% effort will grow very quickly to become 100% of effort. If instead we see 1% effort, but we see 99% of fault, then that devotee becomes very quickly discouraged in Krishna consciousness. And the flame that you were supposed to fan will just quickly become doused. This is how Krishna encouraged the residents of Vrindavan. He encouraged them in a wonderful way. Before them, as they were offering everything to Govardhan Hill, he assumed a large, unprecedented, transcendental form. A huge form. And there he declared that I am Govardhan. He declared that. He declared that I am Govardhan. Beautiful transcendental form. When the devotees saw this transcendental form of Krishna, they were completely mesmerized. In fact, Bhagavatam tells us their faith in Krishna's words increased many, many, many fold. This is the reciprocation that Krishna gives to a devotee who just follows his instruction. And when they saw that Govardhan had assumed a huge transcendental form and Krishna declared that I am Govardhan, what happened? They became more ecstatic. They became even more ecstatic. And in this way, he then accepted in that transcendental form all the offerings that were given. All the offerings that were given. Srila Jiva Goswami transcendently says this is a humorous situation. Because Krishna could not resist the prasadam, you know. And it was all going to Govardhan Hill, of course. But Krishna also wanted to partake of it. Krishna and his devotee are not different, especially if the devotee is pure. So Krishna became a transcendental form of Govardhan so that he could also partake this wonderful prasad that was being lovingly offered. So the hill golden was offered, and Krishna came in the transcendental form and declared himself to be non-different from his pure devotee. In the fourth canto, 28th chapter, there are several verses between the 56, 57, 58, 59th of Srimad Bhagavatam, where in the episode of Puranjana, when Puranjana becomes Puranjani, and he dies, she dies, or she or her husband Malayadvaj dies, at that point she is alone. Krishna comes in the form of the super soul, Avinyataha, and he declares in those verses that the pure devotee of the Lord is actually not different from Krishna to the extent that he is the servitor of Bhagavan. He is the servitor. That is why his instructions are taken as good as Krishna. That's why in the morning when we sing Saksha Darit Vena, we sing Samsara Dava, we sing Yasya Prasada, all this go to show us that the pure devotee who transmit the message is the transparent via medium. And Krishna is so pleased with that devotee that he is actually the super soul within, but the pure devotee becomes the spiritual master without, outside. So Antar Bahir, inside and outside, Krishna came to protect and instill faith in the residents of Vrindavan. He came in his transcendental form and he showed them the glory of Govardhan Hill. And these residents became very happy, very, very happy. Then, simultaneously, this chapter concludes. Krishna was still simultaneously the same cowherd boy. He was the transcendental form standing in front of them and Govardhan Hill. And at the same time, as Krishna, this young 7-year-old boy, he encouraged all the devotees to please offer and please chant. And like that, all the residents of Vrindavan became very satisfied and they all returned to their village. They became very happy. Now, someone wasn't happy. Because after this beautiful Govardhan Puja, all these offerings, so much of Bhoga, should have gone to Indra. And Indra, when he saw, because when they were getting ready to fire the sacrifice for Indra, Indra was cognizant. Today they are all going to give this to me. Let me accept the offerings. But when Indra saw before himself that this whole lot had listened to a cowherd boy, 7 years old, and went to worship some hill, Indra lost it. He became very upset. And when he understood that the sacrifice was set aside for a hill, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the whole residents of Vrindavan. Why? Because they accepted what Krishna said. And this is the start of the end. You know the saying, pride comes before fall, isn't it? So this is the point. Indra became very proud. He had become very proud. Because he thought that everyone depended on his reign. When one becomes proud, Bhagavatam tells us, then we can't take it if someone is doing very nicely. From pride comes envy. P and then E. Whenever you are envious of someone, always introspect. And you will find the reason for envy of someone is because you were proud in doing something which you now think someone is usurping. Think about it. If you are very good in kirtan and suddenly somebody comes and sings very nicely, you'll become envious of the person. But the reason you're envious for him, of him, is envy is the symptom. But disease is the disease is the pride. The reason why you become envious of him is because in your heart, you thought I was the greatest singer. So how can someone come and become greater than me? So that is the pride. So Indra thought, who can be greater than me? He had completely forgotten that he was also created. He had completely forgotten that his is only the rain department. It's the department of rain, wind, storm. That's it. That's all. It's one department. You open the door, you go and see the department head, and that's it. He forgot, he answered to someone up there. Then he forgot. The line was not a straight line. In corporate terms, it was a dotted line. He had forgotten already. So what happens now? Indra decides, I must teach them all a good lesson. So now, Indra has a variety of clouds at his disposal. Okay? Because in that department, I suppose in different shelves, you know, he keeps different clouds. So he found the cloud of the highest range. You know, in this material world, you have category 5 hurricane, category 5 typhoon, that kind of things, you know. So he thought, let me get the highest category clouds. They are known as the Samvartaka clouds. These are known as the clouds that are only dispatched by Indra at the time of dissolution of the material universe. Other than that, the clouds never come. Very, very powerful clouds, Samvartaka. So what happens is, he summoned these clouds. And he told them, now I want all of you to swiftly go down to Vrindavan, focus your efforts there, and pour like you've never poured. Pour as if the world is coming to an end. I will send the wind gods to assist you also. And after that, don't worry. I will personally come with Airavata and I will also give you support. Why? Because when he first told them to go, the clouds thought, Vrindavan Dham. Even the clouds knew who was in Vrindavan. The clouds realized Krishna is in Vrindavan. Maybe my master department head has forgotten who is our big boss. So the clouds were hesitating. Should we really go to Vrindavan? Should we really take on this assignment? Then Indra encouraged them and said, don't worry, I'm there. Once I'm there, everything is fine. So he told them, go there and do it. So then the Samvartaka clouds, they were dispatched by Indra. And before they knew it, the residents of Vrindavan realized that over a short period of time after they went back into the village, the entire Vrindavan became completely dark. The wind had blown in. And now torrents of rain started pouring. And the torrents of rain, Bhagavatam tells us, was so powerful that when they came down, they felt like lightning piercing into the skin of the residents of Vrindavan. And other parts of Vrindavan, they came as if they were blocks. They came in blocks of rain. In other words, they came like pillars. You know, when you get poured with water which comes like pillars, it's just incredible. So within a few moments, the clouds together with the wind poured torrents of rain to the point where the entire Vrindavan situation was dangerous, Bhagavatam says. It was a critical situation. The flood was rising and rising and the residents had nowhere to go. They were just trying to reach to high land. But you know Vrindavan, it is actually low. There's no other place except Golden. Very, very few places where they could go up. And even those places were becoming submerged. Like that, the rain was coming. And now the residents of Vrindavan became completely frightened. This is very important. At the point when they become frightened, the reaction of the Vrindavan residents is very instructive for us. Why? Because in the material world also, these rains come. Not just in the form of storms, but actually very often our own life is very stormy, isn't it? Very often you find difficulties come. And when they come, like we say, you know, in English, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? It is our experience in material world that when one problem comes, it doesn't come alone. They all come together. Just like a deluge, you know, they all come together. And sometimes as devotees, it is very easy for us to become bewildered. Sometimes we think, I'm chanting and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then why all these problems are coming? It's very easy. It's very easy to feel this way. So the residents of Vrindavan, they could have gone to Krishna now and say, Krishna, see now what you have done to us. Because you told us to do the sacrifice, now Indra is very angry. It's the easiest thing to do it. I would have done it if I was there. But the residents did not do that. Instead, what they did, they shivered, Bhagavatam said. They were shivering. The cold was too much for them. In fact, Bhagavatam says they were pained by the cold. But in that situation, they knew now that Indra was very angry. So what did they do? They ran to Krishna. They all came to Krishna. Krishna was in his house and they all come to him now. And there, when they come to him, they did not scold Krishna. They did not blame Krishna. They instead did only one thing. They simply ran to him for shelter. So this verse in 10, 25, 13 is very nice. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho.
Tvam natam gokulam prabho.
Tvam natam gokulam prabho.
Tratum arhasi devanaha.
Tratum arhasi devanaha.
Kupitad bhaktavatsalaha.
Kupitad bhaktavatsalaha.
The translation is very nice. Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
O most fortunate one.
O
Most fortunate.
Deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra.
O Lord,
you are most affectionate,
to
your devotees.
Please
save us also. They ask first to save the cows. Then in case, you know, they said save us also. This is such a beautiful verse. They say that Krishna, you are most fortunate. Do you know how much control of senses it takes in a time of crisis to glorify Krishna? Otherwise, Krishna, help me. Here, Krishna, most fortunate one, kindly save us. Remember the other verse? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta, Nam, Abhayankaraha, Tvammeko, Dayamana, Nam, Apavargosi, Samshritehe. A great crisis, Brahmastra is coming. Arjuna should be shooting. Doesn't he come down? Takes Achaman, does Achaman, goes three times round Krishna, right? Why? Because Krishna is time. Those who have taken shelter of Krishna, they have plenty of time. They don't worry that the world is coming to an end. They say, if Krishna is time, then I have time. So let me do Achaman for Krishna. Let me go around Krishna. Let me chant four nice verses in praise of Krishna. Then say, Krishna, by the way, Brahmastra is coming. Can I now stop it? This is faith. This is the faith that is the difference between a great devotee and a struggling devotee. A struggling devotee says, no time. Why? Because he has no faith. The residents of Vrindavan, they were in great difficulty. But they came to Krishna with love and say, Krishna, save us, save the cows. So nice. Now Indra was thinking, they are now finished. And you know what Indra says at that point of time is really instructive for us. Indra turns to the Samvartaka clouds and he tells them that actually the residents of Vrindavan deserve this. Why? Because they are very arrogant. They are full of pride. And he said, they are following this boy known as Krishna. He is childish, he is playful, and he is doubly arrogant. How many times has he used the word arrogant? And very nicely, Prabhupada instructed us in Leelamrita that when someone tells you that you are tired, it actually means he is tired. Huh? Prabhupada wanted to get the Bombay land from Mr. N. Mr. N and Prabhupada wanted to meet. Shamsundar Prabhu told Mr. N, Prabhupada wants to meet you. Mr. N thought Prabhupada is a mystic guru. If I sit with him, he will do this to me and then I will have to give the land to him. So he brought his guru, some mystic, and he said, now you protect me in shield from this Prabhupada so that he will not send me some magic. So they sat down. Prabhupada did not discuss land at all. Prabhupada just spoke 15 minutes, 1 hour. It was noontime. Fed them nice prasadam. They started to become a bit sleepy. Then Prabhupada yawned. Then immediately, this Mr. N turned to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you must be tired. Prabhupada said, yes. Swamiji, let's go and retire for a while. Prabhupada said, good. They all went to lie down. Barely 15 minutes into lying down, Prabhupada called Shamsundar. Prabhupada called Shamsundar and told him, when someone tells you that you are tired, it means he's tired. So when someone tells you, Prabhu, you must be hungry, what he's trying to tell you nicely is, Prabhu, can you stop your talk? I'm very hungry, let's go and eat. But in a nice way, you know. So Prabhupada said, now you go and wake him up. And Prabhupada caught Mr. N without Guru because Guru was sleeping very much. So Mr. N came. In 1 hour, Prabhupada reworked the sale agreement for Mumbai. Why I'm bringing that up here is this. Indra was saying everything that was wrong about Vrindavan residents when actually all these things applied to himself. That's why before we go finding fault with others, the reason we are so intelligent to find fault in others is simply because these faults are within us. It takes a thief to know a thief, isn't it? Right? Only a thief will know another thief. So if you see the faults, then you have the faults. It is simple. So that is why Indra is an irony, a dramatic irony in Bhagavatam, that he's saying that they are all defective because of arrogance and pride, but he has the pride. So now the residents come to Krishna and they pray very hard to him. And they say, Krishna, please save us. What is the reaction of Krishna? Krishna, seeing his beloved devotees in distress, he now knew it was the work of angry and envious and proud Indra. And now Krishna says to himself, Indra has become proud of his opulence, and out of foolishness, he falsely considers himself to be Lord. He does not realize that as a Devata, he should be in the mode of goodness, at least. This is Krishna's advice. At least you should be in the mode of goodness. And there should be no pride. So Krishna thinks in his heart, I will now break the pride of Indra. I will break it. And by breaking it, I will bring relief to his heart. What a nice point. Krishna is really a well-wisher. When we want to break someone, we smash them and leave them to die. But when Krishna wants to break something in us, he's not breaking it. He's actually fixing it. Right? He's actually fixing it. It's broken. The devotional service is broken. Krishna is fixing it. So when Krishna puts us in difficulty, he is not breaking something. Please don't think he's breaking something. He's actually fixing that which has already been broken. In psychological terms, if you do research in that field, all scholars agree that when a crisis comes to a person or an organization, the effect of the crisis is felt very, very late. When we feel that there is a crisis, the moment of crisis had happened a long time before. Please keep this in mind. This is reported and known fact in material world. When an organization is in a crisis, it is not that time when the crisis came. It is 10 years ago when the crisis started. The effects are coming now. In the same way, when we are in difficulty, it is not that moment when the difficulty has come. The offenses have started years before or in moments before that. We are now feeling the effects of it, and that is why we have to increase the devotional service. This is very important. So that is why Krishna says, let me break the pride of Indra. Because the pride of Indra has been growing after every sacrifice for years and years and years. The crisis shows now, but Indra has to be broken. And at the same time, Krishna says, but it is also my duty to protect the devotees in Vrindavan. These devotees, they turn to me for shelter. I am their master. Indeed, they are my family. At this point, if you read Krishna book, not Krishna book, if you read the translations of the 10th canto, the word Krishna uses is Mat Sharanam. And in the purport, it's very nicely stated that Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Mat Sharanam doesn't just mean that the residents of Vrindavan have surrendered to Krishna, but it also means that the residents of Vrindavan consider Krishna their home. Another word, another meaning in Sanskrit for Sharanam is home. It is the place where you find shelter. So that's why Krishna said, they are my family. Because for them, home is Krishna. They could be anywhere, but if Krishna was there, then would be Vrindavan. It was not the place, it was Krishna. That's why when we say Sharanam, Sharanam just doesn't mean we surrender. But we surrender in such a way where Krishna is, that is our place of surrender. Such a nice point. And now, Krishna says, this is what I will do. I will now protect the devotees, and I will also smash the pride of Indra and protect him also. And now what does Krishna do? Krishna then starts his most beautiful Govardhan Leela. He comes from the house, and he runs. Now, it is stated nicely in Bhagavatam that the rains were still pouring. So, Krishna then employs this internal yoga maya potency known as Samhar Kiki. This potency is very powerful because when this potency is applied, when Krishna ran from his house to leave Govardhan Hill, he ran very swiftly, but the yoga maya potency protected him from becoming deluged by the rain. So Bhagavatam says his turban was intact and his dhoti was also intact. So now we know that when Krishna went to leave Govardhan Hill, he probably had his turban on, you know. So Krishna runs very quickly, Bhagavatam says, to the hill. And there, he lifts the hill with his left hand. Particularly, his left last finger. You all know traditionally, if you're right-handed, this finger is the weakest finger. Easily broken, right? If you try even holding this for a while, after a while it becomes difficult. If you want to lift a cup, it becomes very difficult. If you want to lift someone, it becomes impossible. If you want to lift a hill, you can only do it in dreams. It is never going to be possible. But Krishna amazingly picked up Govardhan Hill, very gently, Bhagavatam tells us, lovingly, because Govardhan is his devotee. He didn't smash Govardhan up, he didn't roughly take Govardhan up. Devotional service is always done lovingly. He picked up Govardhan very nicely and swiftly with his last finger, and he held Govardhan up very high. And with his right hand, alternatively, sometimes he played the flute, and sometimes he would put it on his hip. And in that way, he then invited all the residents of Vrindavan, all the cows, all the animals. He told them, bring your paraphernalia, bring your family, come. Govardhan is here and he is going to protect you. Krishna did not say, I will protect you. Krishna said, Govardhan is going to protect you. This is the greatness of the Lord. Prabhave Sarva Sattvatam. This is in the 4th canto, 30th chapter. Why? Because Krishna always wants to increase the influence of his devotee. That is why his devotees shine and Krishna becomes very happy. If we were Krishna, we won't let anyone shine. Isn't it? Only I, supreme, only me. I must become the hill, I must do this, I must do that, I must be everywhere. But no, Krishna is very happy to share the workload. And he's very happy to give credit to everyone who's doing it. This is Krishna's mercy. So Krishna lifted Govardhan and he told everyone, he invited everyone, take shelter of Govardhan Hill. Now sometimes the question is asked, if Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and if you count the number of residents who came, they brought their bullock cart, they brought their cows, they brought the animals, all the animals who were around, they also came under. Govardhan was a mid-sized hill, could not have given shelter to all of them. So how did Govardhan give shelter? Bhagavatam says, the moment Krishna by Brahma Sparshanam touched Govardhan, Govardhan became so ecstatic, right? That Govardhan could accommodate the entire Vrindavan Dham. He became so ecstatic that by Krishna's mercy, he could do that which was impossible. He expanded in his opulence. In fact, the lightning and the cloud and the torrential rains were so powerful that ordinarily it should have wiped out the hill. But because of the touch of Krishna from beneath, acting as the foundation for Govardhan, the top he hardly felt, Govardhan hardly felt. In fact, it was like showering flowers. Like you shower flowers on someone. If someone gets angry with you and he throws you a garland, is that going to hurt you? No, isn't it? I mean, you may just get the garland on your neck. That's very nice. But apart from that, it won't hurt you. So Bhagavatam tells us it was like flowers falling on Govardhan. Even the animals who were caught up when Krishna lifted, there were some animals that were up right at the top of the hill. They didn't come down. But Bhagavatam said even they did not feel the effects of lightning. Because they were on Govardhan. Govardhan was on Krishna. And therefore, by Brahma Sparshanam, by Krishna consciousness, by connection to Krishna, they could do extraordinary things. Extraordinary things. This is the greatness of the Lord, and this is the greatness of devotional service. So in that way, for 7 days, the residents of Vrindavan just stayed under the shelter of Govardhan and the shelter of Krishna. And what do you think they did? They just gazed at Krishna. This was what they wanted. All this time, they were always cursing. Krishna always goes in the morning with the gopas, spends time with the cowherd boys and the cows grazing far away, comes back in the evening. We hardly have time with Krishna. If you count time, there is no time with Krishna. Every resident of Vrindavan's deepest desire in the heart was, somehow or another, when will that day come when I can have unadulterated time to take darshan of my beloved Krishna? And Krishna heard their plea and he gave them 7 days of uninterrupted, wonderful darshan. Amazing, isn't it? This is what you call circle seats. You won't get any closer than Govardhan Leela to be with Krishna. So Bhagavatam said, each of the devotee under Govardhan, when they saw Krishna, they reacted and reciprocated lovingly on the basis of their relationship with Krishna. When the older residents saw Krishna, they saw Krishna as a young boy and Krishna looked at them with respect. When the gopis saw Krishna, because they saw Krishna as their beloved, Krishna became shy. No one else could see Krishna's shyness, but the gopis could see Krishna's shyness. When Balaram and the gopas saw Krishna, He looked very heroic and very wonderful. And they thought, what a wonderful feature Krishna is exhibiting. And the gopis saw Krishna differently. And the residents saw Krishna differently. The cows, when they saw Krishna as always their protector. So Krishna was still one Krishna. But he was reciprocating differently at the same time with everyone for 7 days at every moment. And by then, only one person's pride became deflated. By the time Indra saw and became astonished, how is it that the entire residents of Vrindavan Dham could not become deluged? This is another question that's asked. The rain kept pouring down, but by Krishna's potency, every rain that touched the ground dried instantly. That means all the floods that first started before the lifting of the hill, they dried up very quickly. Very quickly. So not only did the hill give shelter, but the land was drained by Krishna's mercy. It was drained by Krishna's mercy. So at the end of the time, Indra was completely deflated. And by that time, the clouds had exhausted themselves. Indra became very silent and introspective. And the residents of Vrindavan saw that the sun had come out and everything had become bright. For 7 days, the residents of Vrindavan did not think of hunger or thirst, Prabhu said Mataji's. They did not. In fact, Krishna himself did not eat or drink. But being with the devotees, he forgot hunger and he forgot thirst. This is the greatness of Krishna. This is the greatness of Krishna consciousness. When we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we don't feel, you know, the material inebrieties. Of course, you may feel hungry now because, you know, time is coming. But that's all right. But if you're doing service like on Janmashtami day and you have to fast all day, actually you find that it's better to be in service than to sit at home with your mind. If you sit at home with your mind whole day and you fast, you will die. Eventually, I just have to eat something because the mind will just take over. But if you are in service, you are with Krishna, everything is fine. This is the beauty. So now the golden Leela ends and the residents of Vrindavan go back. But as they go back, they all come and embrace Krishna and they all relate to him in each of their own ways. Nanda Maharaj and all came and smelt the forehead and the head of Krishna. They patted him and said, well done, well done. The boys, they came and hugged Krishna and punched him on the side, you know, like boys do, you know, and they said, amazing, wonderful. The mothers came and said, now you have to feed you, you know, whole day you have not eaten, like mothers always do, you know. And Krishna reciprocated lovingly with each and every one of them. The gopis particularly. The gopis had the greatest advantage in Golden Leela. Why? Because in a very strict traditional village setting or Vedic tradition, the gopis were hardly able to look at Krishna. They could not. But here 7 days, 7 nights, where to go? Isn't it? You have to see Krishna. Nobody could stop them because Krishna was centerpiece. So all their longings were fulfilled. And as they left, they sang and chanted the glories of Krishna loudly and nobody stopped them. Because who would stop them? They spent 7 days with Krishna. And the last point I remember from Bhagavatam that's really nice, the cows as they passed Krishna, they cried. And their tears were the tears of yogurt. So beautiful. Their tears were like yogurt, you know. It was so fresh and so peaceful because for 7 days they were not in any distress. But they were completely peaceful. That's why we speak about cows today who have grown up in devotee atmosphere. When these cows give milk, they don't give it out of fear. They give it out of devotion. That's why 7 days, the cows, how happy they were. So Krishna became happy. Residents of Vrindavan became happy. But Indra was most unhappy. So now Krishna went purposefully with the cows to a quiet place. And Indra saw nobody was around. So he comes with Surabhi, the cow from the celestial heavens. The reason why Krishna went to a quiet place away from the residents was so that Indra would not become embarrassed. See how considerate Krishna is. He knew that if he spoke loudly in front of anyone, Indra would become embarrassed. To save his devotee face, so to speak, he went to the quiet place. We should also learn from Krishna. If you get angry with someone, if you want to fight with someone, please don't do it in front of everyone. I'm not recommending you fight. But at least have the courtesy to bring them somewhere and say, Prabhu, there is something I want to speak to you. I am not in front of everyone in Gaura Arati. Prabhu, I don't like what you did. Nobody will hear Gaura Arati after that. So we should be very, very etiquette bound to understand how to treat and serve devotees. So nice, the master of etiquette. So Krishna now sits one side, Indra comes before Krishna and he bows. And now he says, Krishna, ya eka isho nijamaya yanaha sasarjayena anujama vishvam nayam nayasyapi puraha samihitam pasyamalingam pritak ishamaninaha. This verse is important for us to understand the mind of Indra. This is in 6th canto, 9th chapter, but it applies equally here. Indra said, Krishna, for a while I was so consumed by pride, I thought that I was the creator of this universe. I thought I was the giver of the rains. Sasarja yena anusjama vishwam. I thought I was the creator. I thought the universe was in my hands. But now I realize that nothing is in my hands. Because of pride, I became envious. And because of pride and envy, I became angry. And because of pride, envy and anger, I stand before you now, seeking your forgiveness. I have caused great harm to you and your devotees. And I pray never to be like this again. Vashyama lingam pritan ishamayinaha. The reason, my Lord, I am in this situation is because I have become independent of you. This is the lesson of Govardhan Leela, as far as Indra is concerned. The moment we think we are independent of Krishna, that is the day our mind becomes disturbed. The moment you perform devotional service and you find, hey, why am I troubled? Introspect. There is something we have done which is not in line with Shastra, Guru and Sadhu. That is why we are in difficulty. That's all. This is why Indra was in difficulty. And that is why Krishna ends the Leela by forgiving Indra. He forgives Indra. And when he forgives Indra, Indra pours from Airavata showers of water at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Surabhi pours beautiful milk as an offering to the lotus feet of Krishna. And now Indra goes back. Krishna goes back as a very simple boy. And now the cowherd men are going to go back home. When they turn to Nanda Maharaj and say, Nanda Maharaj, your boy is wonderful. He's wonderful. As an infant, do you remember as an infant? He was hardly able to speak and do anything. And he killed Putana. And then he was hardly a few months old. And he just kicked and shattered the cart. Then after that, when he was about, that was 3 months old. When he was 1 year old, Trinavat came and picked him up and went up to the skies. But somehow Krishna subdued him and he was only 1 year old. Then you remember, he was tied to the mota. That's what we're going to do now. And then he just broke down the Yamalarjuna tree, just like that. And then do you remember how he killed Bakasura? Then do you remember how he killed the calf demon, Vatsasura? Then you remember how he killed the donkey demon, Denukasura. They were all thinking of Krishna. They were thinking, who is this boy? Then you remember how with Balaram they vanquished Pralambasura. And do you remember how they chastised Kaliya? And then at that point of time, Nanda Maharaj said, you're right. He is really wonderful. In fact, when his prediction came and the astrologer Gargamuni came, he said, this boy is none other than incarnation of Vishnu. And he has come in this age in blackish color. And then they begin talking how great he must be. And finally they concluded, he must be definitely an incarnation of Narayana. An incarnation of Narayana. And after speaking like this and glorifying Krishna, it's an entire chapter by the way in Krishna book, wonderful Krishna. After glorifying everything very nicely, Nanda Maharaj goes back home. And he's thinking, this Krishna must be a plenary portion of Lord Vishnu. And when Krishna comes with the chapal to give his father, by his Yogamaya potency, Nanda Maharaj thinks, oh, my beautiful child, this is Krishna. And he completely forgets how wonderful Krishna is and who Krishna really is. So what can we take back from Govardhan Leela? We can take back this one very important point, that we should never be proud. We should never think of being envious. We should never exhibit anger. We should always know who we are. That we are nothing but the servant of the servant of the servant. We should always know the glories of the great devotees like Govardhan. We should know how dear Govardhan Hill is. And we should never forget that Govardhan gives everything in Vrindavan to everyone. And devotees of the Lord are like that. They are always ready to fulfill the desires of all living entities. And they are ready always to serve everyone. If we can serve such great devotees as Govardhan, then how much Krishna will become pleased with us. So, Govardhan Puja will be on Monday. And everyone should come and call your friends, because this year we are not here. This year, as 50th anniversary, we are doing it at the Rudra Kaliyaman Temple at Depot Road. You will see the email, just follow the directions. We're doing it there because this year I understand that the Golden Hill is very, very big. Huh? How many cakes we are talking about? 55 cakes. Okay, there are 55 cakes being made by the Matajis for offering. So it's going to be big. Then we are going to carry Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's desire was to go around and circumambulate Golden. We will carry him on a palanquin around Golden, and we will do ecstatic kirtan for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. And this will be a good way to wind down 50 years of his movement. Right? Because after Monday, we remember Srila Prabhupada on the 4th of November for the disappearance of his blessed disappearance. So please call your friends, call everyone, because this is the time for us to do nice preaching on Monday. Thank you very much. Tomorrow morning is Bhagavatam. Tomorrow morning is the actual day of Diwali by Vaishnava calendar. But now let us light the lamps. Let us sing the Damodar Leela.